You are listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
This is 1 hour of fun from the show this morning.
Don't worry, you can still catch the entire show on your favorite podcast app.
And you can watch the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba on Blaze TV.
Enjoy the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Here we go, Rick and Bubba family, from the Big Boy Studio. Another hour of the Rick and Bubba show, up and running and ready to go. Let's go. We'll break down the stories of the day. We'll take your phone calls at 866-WE-BE-BIG. The contest button at Rick and Bubba, spell out the word, and.com has an opportunity or two for you. We'll talk about that today. And there is much to move through. I told you Speedy, Greg, and Adler are here, but we're missing one. The silver tongue one. The man with a golden voice. Professional lunch eaters, man of the year. The inventor of pizza and a cup. Shakespeare's worst nightmare. And the master of the King's English. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Bill Bubba Bussin! Bubba.
How about it, Rick Burgess? Friends, neighbors, associates everywhere, welcome in to Rick and Bubba.
There is beauty in the world.
Everybody
now.
All together now.
About it.
Bubba, so I was thinking about this when I heard Speedy saying that we're giving listeners at the contest button an opportunity to go to the Children's of Alabama Indy Grand Prix. They're in Sweet Home, Alabama. Riley Green is going to be the Grand Marshal. And, of course, we're giving them an opportunity to go there and enjoy that. And as we look back over our 30 years and celebrate, where do you put the Grand Marshal experience and what you and I've got to do? Either one.
Both of those were very extreme. Yeah. I mean, just really, really cool.
Yeah.
The whole Barber Motorsports Park, so many people, I think, still don't understand what we got there.
Right, yes.
And what a cool venue
really,
that is.
Really, really cool.
I will say this. I think just from... again, both very exciting, but I will always remember, and I would have to put it right up there in the top handful of things we ever did.
Yeah.
When we're riding around in the pace car at Talladega.
Oh my.
And I guess I had never paid attention to the pit crews that they all line up and salute when you come by and they're all in their different color uniforms.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
You know, I remember looking back behind us and Jeff Gordon and who was the other leader on the lead lap behind that was Junior. And thinking, you know, what legends they were and it was kind of surreal. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, it's just those moments, and then, you know, we got to do that, and I'm with you. When you look at all the stuff over the years, and we've got to do, thanks to this audience, so many cool things. That one has got to be top five.
And
the Indy experience, what got me there, because I was so accustomed to NASCAR because I grew up, you know, in the infields of Talladega. But I didn't have any experience as a child with Indy. So that was my first experience with us as adults. And the sheer speed and the skill of these drivers and the technology of these vehicles when they were flying by us, I was kind of like, oh wow, that was a, so there, you, I don't think you understand the horsepower of either NASCAR or Indy quite like you feel it when you get to do that.
When you're on the starter set, because we've done the starts too.
Yeah, we have. Yeah,
and you feel those cars go under you, and all the rubber pellets are pounding you from the tires, and you think, "Wow, how are those rubber pellets getting way up here?"
Yeah, the horsepower is crazy. So we'll give you a VIP package there, and like Speedy said, and this is our personality. There's a lot of cool things you're going to get in this package.
But I got to tell you, the parking may be the most valuable.
Yeah,
you know, when I've got a parking pass, when I'm toting a parking pass, good gracious. So anyway, that's in contest button today.
I'll tell you one of my other barber experiences, and you were not along for this one. It was the Beamer Fest that was out there.
Oh, I remember you telling me about
and,
that.
And they hold these all over the country. It's the first time it had been in you know, anywhere close a week ago to. And they put you in one of my favorites is they had two cars set up exactly alike with different tires on it.
Mm.
And they wanted you, and they said, here, hop in here, drive as fast as you can through these cones, spin the car around and come back.
Mm.
And I'm like, seriously? You want me to do that with two cars? Okay.
Yeah.
And the difference in handling the tires made, and that was kind of the point of the demonstration. I think maybe also I'll put in that when I was on the spin plate there where they put water on the surface and you go and you put the car into a spin to try to control it.
Mm.
And I've got Hunter and Bob Carey riding in the back seat. I think that may have been a pretty fun moment too.
And then of course, you know, back to NASCAR when we got to do the driving experiences.
That
was awesome.
Yeah, when I the first time we did it, you know, you just didn't know much about it, and so you were kind of trying to figure it out. But to be able to go back and go, I kind of understand it a little better now, and
feel more comfortable with it,
and turn a lap at 180. And I know that's
and nobody's in the car.
Yeah, I know that's nothing compared to what the pros do. And I didn't have traffic around me and all that.
Well, we did on a couple of laps. Yeah. One time I was three wide, thinking, should I be in this?
Right. Well, yeah, that was with the Dale Jarrett where we got to have a driver in there with us. But just the back to this again. I don't think there's been very few times in my life, and some that you certainly can't mention, but where I uncontrollably just let out a noise.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that the horsepower of those vehicles, I see now why Bo and Duke used to holler a lot
when they were
flying in that car.
It's
like it just uncontrollably. You're like, yoo!
You
know? Yeah. I mean, boy, the horsepower is just incredible.
I remember it's thinking fun. Because we took I don't remember which one it was. I know one time we had a driver with us. One time we didn't have a driver.
That was Richard Petty.
You had to follow the car.
You had to follow the car, yeah.
And I think that one was I think that one was a little more scary to me because I'm in there solo.
Yeah.
But I remember we took the van around the track and where it says, like Alabama International Speedway and those letters going by in the van versus how quick they went by when I was in the car. And it went whoop, like that, and I thought, "Oh wow, we're moving on."
Yeah, the thing I remember was the old fella in the pit area to help us, and he said, "Don't do 10 and 2, do 6 and 12." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "Look, hit that turn wide open and just turn." He said, "The car's made to stick there. You'll be fine."
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, "Okay."
Hope he's right.
Having to slide in and out of that window. Oh my God.
So anyway,
but that was fun.
Yeah,
everybody ought to do it once.
Yep, no doubt about it. So we'll be back. More Rick and Bubba coming up. Much to cover on the program today. The world's gone bonkers, and we'll continue to work that out. Stories from within the show and your phone calls too. All still to come.
Rick and Bubba. Rick and Bubba.
Bubba, the question is, will we get the opportunity to vote Trump?
You know. I'm not up on this trial as much as some of the others just because I don't have that many hours in the day.
Yeah, if you're going to keep up with every Trump trial, you're pretty much not going to be able to do anything else.
I do know that this trial has to do with the non-disclosure agreement, or as the media is calling it, the hush money.
Right.
But isn't that what every non-disclosure agreement is? You pay someone to keep a secret. I mean, that's what they are.
And we allow them, right?
We allow them in the legal circles. You take the money. And I'm not saying should he have done it or not done it.
No, obviously not.
What did he do or didn't do? I mean, that's a whole other topic. But just on the legal side of this, those are legal, right? I mean, some of you legal eagles can let us know. I don't know, but
I think Speedy said, don't we have a video today that we'll get? And Adler, you can tell us when that's ready. Some guy tries to lay out all this you're talking about.
Yeah, because it's complicated.
Yeah, I mean,
and so I'm with you.
Now I know he's charged. Now get this too. He is charged in this case with 34 felonies, 34? Wow.
When you said that, we were getting
ready to. What?
No. What? 34. See, I keep getting confused.
You couldn't bring Putin to trial for that many felonies.
No. Huh? Listen, I keep being confused because there's so many attempts to keep Trump from being a candidate by the left through the legal system. Honestly, when Stormy Daniels comes up, I'm like, are we still on Stormy Daniels? I thought this was
was long ago.
Yeah, right? And it keeps coming back, and I get confused on which trial's which. So
this is Jonathan Turley here.
Yeah, here's Jonathan Turley, courtesy of Fox News.
Hey, Jonathan.
Well, there's a novel question, John. I'm not sure. I mean, this is a Frankenstein case. They took a dead misdemeanor, they attached it to a dead alleged federal felony and zapped it back into life. So many of us are just amazed to watch this actually walk into court because it's not a recognizable crime that any of us have seen. This, it does not appear to be a federal crime, but that's the theory that Bragg is using. So to go into the Wayback Machine, this state misdemeanor died because of the statute of limitations. Then what Bragg said was, well, I'm going to allege that you did false filings on business records to hide a crime, but he was very ambiguous what that crime might be. He still is ambiguous, but it is assumed to be a federal election crime. The problem is the federal government doesn't view it as a crime. They decided not to prosecute, and most election experts say that this is the type of thing that's failed in the past. So this bizarre indictment is now going to be an equally bizarre trial, and to this day, there's some confusion as to Bragg's actual theory as to what was the exact crime that Trump was hiding from all this.
That's what we just said. What is the crime?
They're calling this the trial of the century, and they're saying this one is going to be more interesting than the others because of where it is, the characters involved, and of course NDAs and hush money and sexual affairs are alleged and all that stuff. Sure. So this is going to be the one the media has the most fun with. Now, I did see yesterday that the judge had basically laid out some dates that that the trial was going to happen, and one of them already conflicts with Trump at another trial. And they said, well, look, we're already under court order to be at another trial. And he said, you missed my trial, I'll put you in jail. So how do you solve that? I mean, how do you work that out?
Look, all the gory details and the who, what, well, you can hear this legal analyst said nobody can even really figure out what the charges are. I would think that would be important to clarify.
34 of them that nobody can really figure
out. Hiding money for what now and tied to what? And somehow this is going to go back to election fraud, so he can't run. You know, and then you have a judge saying when there's a legitimate conflict, all right, we have so many cases now since, you know, the judicial system is being weaponized by the left. Y'all got to figure out who wants us where. And then one says, well, you don't come to my court, I'm going to put you in jail. And, you know, and then, you know, hey, my son's graduating, well, you won't be there. You know, it's obvious that these judges are acting like children who don't like a bully, and they're finally in a position to get the bully back. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, like you ever have those people that shouldn't be in law enforcement? They got picked on when they were younger,
and now they
want to be a policeman so they can go rough everybody up. I mean, it feels that way, and I'm not saying that's very few people in law enforcement. So don't hear me. That's not an indictment of law enforcement. But let's all not be naive and not think those people are there. I've encountered them before.
You know, it's just strange because most trials are that you see. You know, the judges are very courteous, even to some very heinous criminals.
Yeah,
and it doesn't appear that Trump is going to get that treatment. So, I mean, he's told him he can't go to his son's graduation. He's told him he can't be at another court that he's under an order to be at. So, I mean, the judges are going to have to get together on that. You can't be at two places at once. And again, it shows almost the craziness of this, that they're just out. I mean, they've just hell-bent on hanging something on him.
And there's just stacking the charges like they did with the Mar-a-Lago overvaluing case that we talked about. They're just stacking the same charges over and over and over again. So it's when they say 30 felonies or whatever, it's the same thing, but they're just stacking them.
Well, it goes, I'm glad this legal analyst said what we were thinking, because he's much more informed than I am, that he said this has been something that we thought was dead, and they've tried to just jump, you know, go put the pads on it and bring it back to life. This has already been ruled once that what y'all are trying to charge him with, you can't. And,
misdemeanor to a dead felony is what they're trying to tie it again.
Yeah. I mean, it's just bizarre.
One will have a jury. I'm sorry, but I keep stepping all over you, man.
No, you're good.
This one will have a jury, so they're going through jury selections right now, and it's happening in a very liberal area. So
it's a deep blue jury.
Well, didn't you say?
They're having a problem, it looks like, getting the jury pool. They had 96 to begin with. They want 12 jurors and 6 alternates. And the judge right out of the gate said, if you have a problem, you can't be impartial in this, raise your hand. 50 people out of 96 raised their hand and left.
Said, I can't be impartial.
Right. and I get, you would think that would go either way, but more likely it's the other way.
Well, analysts have said if they ever get him in New York, he's done.
Yep.
Bottom of the hour.
Rick and Bubba.
So, you know, you better be ready with an election coming up. You know we're going to have some disaster hit, civil unrest, something. You know it's coming.
Look, now, if you pay attention.
Read the playbook, folks.
If you pay attention, they miscalculated how beat down we are from COVID and the worldwide pandemic, because they've tried to scare us again with some new diseases and stuff. And really, the American people kind of were like,
not worried about it.
Right. And so anyway, we played Charles Barkley.
Hey, you listen to Rick and Bubba.
And we played that coming out of the break.
Rick, this has to be under the category of who saw this coming.
Bubba, I may be more shocked by this than I was that the old fart bachelor and his wife broke up.
Right.
I don't know.
Who could have thought it?
King Charles,
the CNN
on
show.
On CNN with Gayle King and, of course, Charles Barkley, has been canceled. The primetime program has been taken off the air less than 5 months after its debut.
They cancel my show.
I can't believe it. I couldn't get Gayle to pull.
She wasn't bringing nothing to the table.
People like to heal me with Shaq, but
if they call it Shaq Charles, we'd have had something.
We already have that. It's called
live from the Shaq.
We're getting canceled, Gayle.
That was
really old.
They didn't come in here and cancel the show. It's terrible.
Where Bubba at?
What's
he doing?
Man of a thousand voices.
I don't know why I couldn't get Gayle.
I think Greg is on to something, because Charles is.
We'll have to console Charles at the golf tournament.
He's probably so glad.
I'm actually happy.
You know, just to be honest with you guys, seriously, I'm glad I ain't got to go over and talk to Gayle King no more.
I guarantee he's glad it's over.
Oh, yeah, that's a handle.
I thought he was in the room with Speedy.
I know. I looked around. I thought, where did Charles come?
Anyway, Charles it said that King Charles struggled to attract viewers.
Really?
As you said, in the primetime slot. They got a good slot. Gayle King claimed on the final episode of King Charles, she and Barkley will likely team up elsewhere. You know, Gayle, that's a sweet thing to say. But look, in the industry, if two people together show doesn't work, other people don't go, let us try it.
Yeah.
Right. Bring it over here. Let's try it.
I really think this is more an indictment on CNN. I mean, it was a losing cause from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
well, let's think about this.
So that's where you're putting me?
Where's Charles at his best? When he's saying outrageous things that are funny.
Yes.
Like talking about the women of San Antonio.
Right.
About talking about making
idiots
fun of
out
Shaq.
For their clips, driving a bunch of idiots out looking at dark.
Making fun of Shaq in a Buick. You know, like that. And you just, I mean, this was not a good platform for that, because he couldn't be mean to Gayle.
Well, nobody watches that channel either.
Well,
that hurt too.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, you're on a channel that nobody watches anyway.
Yeah.
He's got to be on a show where he can, you know, throw barbs at somebody and it'd be funny. Man, and he can do that with Kenny and Shaq and Ernie. And
They put me on the network. I mean, people yell out their backyard and more people hear it.
but here's the thing. The thing that gets me is, you know, like, we're sitting here with 30 years. We got all this behind us. How weird is it that Gail King tried to do one of those things and she thanked everybody for the support for 6 months? I mean,
right, the Wall Street Journal says 5 months.
Yeah, well, she, some reason she said six.
Yeah, I think
she had to. Don't you think she said, I got to add a month? It couldn't have been five.
Let's say six.
Yeah. Now, they
thank y'all for supporting us in the times. Hey, we've been through a lot in the last 5-6 months.
Were they on every night?
You can't do a messed up show.
Was it every night, or what was the?
I don't know. Was it once a week? I don't know. Well, Bubba, you know why we don't know? Nobody watched it. We didn't watch it.
I'm sorry, Charles.
How come you? Hey, Bubba. Bubba, how come you and Rick didn't watch my show? How come you don't watch my show?
I forgot about it, Charles. I'm sorry.
I kind of would have liked to have seen
it. What do you think he said, Speedy, when it was all over?
Yeah, Speedy, what do you think he said on the last episode?
I said, I'm glad it's over.
Was he swimming? It sounds like Aquaman or SpongeBob.
You know, I think it gets down to this. Hey, somebody, hey, where can I find Charles Barkley talking with a bunch of other basketball players and cutting up? Or where can I find Charles Barkley? Now, what's he doing? Oh, he's talking to Gail King.
Yeah. It looks like it was once a week.
I want none of that.
Yeah.
It was once a week. Adlin knows. You ever watch our show?
I wonder if.
Did you ever see the show, Adlin?
The only part I ever saw was when Charles was in trouble for saying he would punch people for voting for Trump.
But you only saw a highlight on that. Yeah. You didn't watch the show.
Never, no.
Greg said he did that because he knew ratings were tanking.
Yeah, I agree. Look, they have overnight ratings on these things. Yeah. They know day-to-day how it's going, and Charles knew it was about over, so he was throwing little haymakers.
Yes.
A little spotlight on that.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny you said that because I was flipping around TV last night.
Oh, gosh.
You know, just kind of winding down. And I didn't realize this. I guess it was right before I went to bed, that like it was the last, something on American Idol. I didn't even know there's a season going on.
Oh,
And I look, and some guy did something that they all got fired up about, and they're jumping up and down. And apparently some bizarre apparatus that Katy Perry was wearing broke.
And so
what did Lionel Richie and
Luke Bryan
start saying ratings. Yeah. They just start how they said, well, the ratings are going to be huge tonight. You know what I mean?
Another wardrobe malfunction.
Right. And, yeah.
I'm not sure what she was trying to wear.
So Charles knew that to the point that they were in trouble. So he said something, you know, he thought might bring, I'm going to punch somebody for Trump. And, but, you know, if you talk to, and Greg, you're the first one that gave him the nickname Mr. Inconsistency. He's a walking, talking contradiction.
Sure.
Charles Barkley will contradict himself inside the same conversation.
Yeah, just give him a minute.
Yeah. And he's still funny.
Some of the things he said over the years. Remember that time he was just pontificating on how he didn't like Republicans because rich people won't help people, and then he just told us how much of his money he'd squandered gambling.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were millions. Like, well, what about that money you gambled? How many people could you have helped with that?
Right.
Well, no, I didn't even talk about that.
He is a sight.
Yeah, and by the way,
I will say this, you know, far as a entertainer, mm-hmm. and meeting the public, I've seen him change over the years. And boy, he is a crowd favorite.
No question.
He plays the crowd.
Sure.
And he wasn't always that way.
Well, he also, like you said, doesn't put on a lot of pomp and circumstance that we've all were mentioning in the break before we did this story. I mean, you can just be somewhere where we live because this is where his family is, and he'll just walk in, you know, and start talking to you like standing in line ordering barbecue.
Or
at the gym, you'll look.
Yeah.
Of course, now Greg said he's never documented him actually working out.
Yeah, we used to go to the gym. We saw him walk around there a lot.
I've seen him run on that incline treadmill.
Of course,
for
he's
a long
in shape
time.
Now.
Yeah, he's lost a lot.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. So there you go, 15 minutes to the top. So it looks like Trump's got 34 counts of some kind in some weird trial. And King Charles has been canceled on CNN. We're off to a blazing start. We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Do I call? I can't call this an update, right? I mean, I don't know what.
Well, it's a figure from the past. It is in the news again.
Oh boy!
Now we attempted to cover this on the kickoff hour, but we determined we weren't mature enough to get through the entire segment.
And when did we decide to go back and revisit?
What was the
marker? Oh, good, Rick and Bubba are here now. Let's do it.
I don't know. Oh, hi, Viz over there. You might want to cut his mic off.
Oh boy.
High-vis.
Well,
high-vis.
High visibility.
Yeah. 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 His shirt.
Yeah, sure. I saw Greg coming. Yeah,
how many batteries that thing?
Double D's.
Matter of fact,
that's the media look. He couldn't say triple A.
By the way,
the way he said it, dude.
Earlier, I came in and I got a buddy that's coming later, and I told Greg, I said, if you don't mind about, well, when people started riding about 7:45, would you go stand in the parking spot and hold it for?
It is traffic safe. There's no doubt.
All right, they're putting a guardrail up out there. They may need Greg up there. That's a load of traffic.
You don't never know.
Hey, tap the brakes. Road construction.
Yeah. Back in the news, John Wayne Bobbitt.
Oh, I don't even like hearing his name.
More than 30 years after he first made headlines.
Years.
And we won't go into that.
Boy, did
But
he.
Under darn the luck, John Wayne Bobbitt had to have his toes amputated.
Every one of them.
Due to
he said, why is people cutting stuff off?
No, I tell you what he says to everybody who tries to give him console him. He goes, oh, it could be worse.
Oh yeah, yeah. Look, hey, toes are bad, but I'm okay. That's a good
nothing.
Point.
This ain't nothing.
Oh,
apparently this and was tied into his time at Camp Lejeune, and you've all seen the lawyer commercials the water supply was contaminated.
Lejeune visit Camp Lejeune.
And apparently this was a spinoff of that he had to have his toes amputated.
Yeah,
Greg, for some reason, is our Camp Lejeune expert.
I've been there.
I don't know why, but he is.
Ooh, look, y'all.
Ooh. Well,
Nub look, City.
He's had that rapping before.
Boy, he has,
yeah.
Rick.
Hey, Rick.
He
Burgess.
Yes.
You're right, though. He's telling them, man, don't feel sorry for me. This is nothing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hey, man, I hate you got your toes cut off. Nah, I'm fine.
I'm great. doing good.
The foot that doesn't have something cut off, what's going on?
What's that coming off to the left?
They must partial there because I think he ended up losing all 10.
Yeah, he's got him a pointer. That pinky toe's gone.
There's no doubt they went after that right one, too. In some way, shape, or form, that right foot's got an issue, too.
Yeah, I think he lost a bunch of toes. Yeah. He
calls that his bird foot, I think.
Oh, boy.
It looks like it. Okay. All right.
So you sure it was all 10? Because it does look like all 2 is still
article.
There.
I may have made that up, but I thought an article.
I know
said
Big Toe's gone.
So this Camp Lejeune thing, it's bad.
I tell you, if you drink the water at Lejeune, you're in trouble.
Mm.
Gosh.
I'm stupid. What is Camp Lejeune?
And it's a Marine.
It's a Marine camp.
And Q Grade.
In Jacksonville, North Carolina. Been there, by
and
the way.
And Go Grade.
Did you drink the water?
I did not. Okay, I don't. We just drove through it because we was working a hurricane and we were on our way somewhere.
And then why is he famous initially? Originally,
Don't do this. I do want to ask you something because you're doing? So much.
He was a famous survivor.
There's a big gap between our age and yours. Do you recall this at all?
Yes, he knows.
My mom had to explain O.J. Simpson and Bobbitt.
Oh no,
both of these situations.
Really?
Yeah, because it was everywhere.
I like to heard that.
It was everywhere.
Do you remember?
Yes.
Do you remember what mom told you?
Yes, I do. I was like, wow.
Well, that was a horrifying thought, wasn't
yes.
it?
We've seen John Wayne Bobbitt in the news several times throughout the years, but what about his ex-wife? Whatever happened to her?
I don't know, but I bet nobody wanted to date her.
Mm. Well, you know, gracious. Crazy America, they will.
But, you know how they have Greg that list.
That is a true test. Can you get over that?
Sir, don't get mad. Are you mad? Don't be mad.
Greg,
don't be mad with me.
Greg,
please.
Do you know how?
Don't get to cutting.
Do you know how in your neighborhood they'll send out the list, and if you move in, they'll let you know how many sexual predators are there?
Yeah.
Now, when men move in a neighborhood, they go, "No, she didn't live here. You're good."
Yeah, she's fine. Yeah, she's you're fine. You're fine. I mean, I'm looking for a foul ball is one thing, but
oh boy,
don't be mad with me.
When she assaulted him, let's put it that way.
Boy, did she.
And then you took off driving after that.
Mm-hmm. You know. Oh, yeah, and
you also got rid of the window.
A little bit of a litter bug.
With the goods.
Was driving one-handed up to a certain point.
Little bit of a litter bug.
I'm glad this car has cup holders.
Oh. All right.
Hey.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. She is a is she going by Lorena Gallo now?
You changed your name quickly.
You know, Rick Speedy had a great point. He said it for me. It's going. It went over by his head, but he said in the kickoff hour, we're talking about. It's amazing. You know, the recovery. He said, "My goodness, I was trying to find the foul ball the other day, and I couldn't find it."
No. You know, when he said
there was a ball that was hit over towards me, and I was just standing there. I was like, "I'll get it." It was tough finding it.
I don't know where it's at.
Well, what he gets to say, though, sitting around with his guy friends, he gets to say, "Of course, they were able to find it."
Rick, yes.
Yeah.
That in itself.
And everybody at the table just says, okay.
Yeah. We'll, hey, yeah. And it was dark.
Yeah.
It was nighttime.
Found it.
I'm amazed that they
got
could
it over
do
here.
Anything with that.
Hey, bring your flashlight over here.
Oh, wow.
And hey, look, what's talking about the doctor. What about the doctor that pulled it off? Put it back on. That's wrong work.
Bubba, you have mentioned this many times on the show. We've discussed this topic. This attempt to turn our society completely secular. And many times we've asked the question, and you've asked it even recently, what is it about the Christian faith other than the exclusivity of redemption found in Christ that aggravates you about the way Christian people live morally?
Right.
Yeah. What? Why would you not want that society, whether you believe what we believe or not, and you want to eradicate the Judeo-Christian principles out of our society because you deem them as negative? So I didn't. So people started sending me this, and then I heard Dennis Prager talking about this, who, by the way, is a practicing Jew. He himself is not a Christian, but he says, I love the New Testament. I study the four Gospels, and he even had just come back from some sort of conference where he and other evangelicals, there were people there who were Christians who were teaching on the New Testament. He wanted to know more about it. He said he was one of two Jewish people there, but the only practicing Jew that was there. And they discussed this, too, while they were there. Do you know who agrees with us on this, Bubba?
Who's that?
Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins, who became one of, you know,
atheist number one.
Yeah,
isn't he?
They called him, you know, part of the four horsemen of the atheist apocalypse.
Right.
Him and Hitchens, and I forget the other two. But you know, they really hit the scene almost being evangelical atheist. But he himself,
who we've actually had on the show,
but he himself has agreed. Now, let me be clear. Richard Dawkins has not become a Christian as far as redemption and deity of Christ. What he's saying is, and he kind of takes, whether he meant it or not, kind of a shot, and I know I used to be one of these, so it was a shot at the former me. He said, you know, a lot of people are cultural Christians.
Oh, yeah.
He said, he considers himself a cultural Christian. And he says, the reason why I like the society that Christianity gives me versus the alternatives. He said, I've looked at the alternatives,
right,
and they are not good. And, of course, he's talking about the UK and America. He says, if the West goes down this road to be completely secular, which at one time he was a proponent of,
right,
or we turn to Islam, he goes, this is going to be disastrous. He goes, the Judeo-Christian principles of life I prefer. Now, this is Richard Dawkins. So, and one of the things I thought was really, really insightful, you know, because I have a lot of respect, even though, you know, Dennis Prager and what we believe, he isn't quite to the point that he recognizes Christ as Messiah, but I can tell he's looking into it.
Yeah.
And he is a moral man who is a practicing and knows the Torah forward and backward, and has written many commentaries on it. He talked about, I thought he said something, and I heard in one of his fireside chats just over the weekend, and it was really profound. And this is where Richard Dawkins is coming in. It's weird that we have Dennis Prager, who is a Jewish man. We have Richard Dawkins, who's an atheist, agreeing with what we say as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And what he said that you get these people that are all into the, let's all become secular. Let's go to a secular society. And he says this is the thing that they have completely wrong. The secular proponents would say that in secularism, which is hard to say, that is that we finally have reached the utopia of we don't believe anything and we believe in nothing. He said, that's not true. He says, where secularism takes you is you begin to believe anything. This is where we come up with all this gender confusion and all that. He goes, you begin to think that the most obvious, absurd thing you will believe. Because now you've left the tenets of any this is right, this is wrong, this is black, this is white. He goes, so this thing that you get to believing in nothing, that's not where you're headed. You'll believe in anything.
Yeah.
And you just start becoming part of an absurd society. And so, I can't believe I'm saying this, Richard Dawkins agrees. And he's saying, I don't believe in the deity of all this, but if we go down the road to the alternatives to Judeo-Christian morality, the product will get. None of us will want to live that way.
Well, let's look at that. Let's break that down a little bit. So if you just stick with the Ten Commandments.
Right. And let's just, that's what Prager said. Yeah.
And let's just stick with the five that has to do with dealing with each other.
Right.
Okay. Don't covet your neighbor's house or anything he has. Don't give false witness. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't murder. Honor your father and mother. You know, that's we can even bump up one more. Keep the Sabbath holy.
Yeah.
Take a day a week off.
Yep.
And rest and honor God for what He's done. That, I mean, is that a, that sounds like a pretty good society?
Mm-hmm. And don't elevate anything to where God should be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
so so anyway, here's another thing to add to this. This is from a book that
if you go against those, show me how that will make society better. I don't think.
Right. Well, here we go again. Now, I just got this today from an emailer. Obvious with you hear us talking about men's ministry a lot. So there's a book out there I haven't read, full disclosure, but this is from the book. Nancy R. Percy has written the book, The Toxic War on Masculinity, How Christianity Reconciles the Sexes. Boy, she's in trouble. Hmm. But listen to this. This is information that is, you cannot refute, the research has been done. And this is from pages 14 and 15 of the book. Compared to secular men, devout Christian family men who attend church regularly are more loving husbands, more engaged fathers, they have the lowest rate of divorce, and astonishingly, they have the lowest rate of domestic violence of any group in America. What happens when Christian men absorb the secular script for masculinity, even men who claim to be men of faith, most of these men are only nominal Christians, which means they are not particularly devout and attend church rarely at all. They are prone to pick up terms like headship and submission, but interpret them incorrectly through the secular lens of power and control. Surprisingly, research has found that nominal Christian men actually have the highest rate of divorce and domestic violence, even higher than secular men. The numbers are staggering, but they tell us men who claim the Christian label often exhibit the worst behavior than men who are outright secular. Nominal men skew the stats, creating a false impression that evangelical men who are devout in their faith reflect this as well, which is not true. As she says, the devout Christian man actually is the desired type of masculinity that women everywhere claim they want. Now, you got problems with secular men, you got problems with nominal Christians, but that goes back to this again. Some of this stuff where people use against Christianity, the problem in that, and we've said this before, but it needs to be said again, is we allow people to take the label of Christian that should never have that label. They really don't practice it. So when you look at them, you don't see the power of it because they are not devout to it. It's just a cultural experience to them. But even Richard Dawkins is saying, I'll take at least a cultural version of it over secularism, but
you're gonna have something,
yeah, right.
Odds if you have that are just much better.
So I was that was interesting hearing that Dawkins has says that he's been on the show and we remember that.
You know, we lamented quite a bit about having him on and sought wiser counsel and ended up having him on. And while I feared his education and his skills in debating a little bit, when it was all said and done, I felt sorry for him.
I did too. He was pitiful.
And you just go, man, you're just making life more difficult on yourself than it needs to be. And I really thought I would feel like when it was over was totally different than what I did. I just felt sorry for him.
Yeah, two things we take away today. Yeah, I did too, Bob. I agree with you 100%. Two things we take away today. Richard Dawkins does not want a true secular society anymore. And number two, if all you are is a cultural Christianity, a Christian, you're kind of like Richard Dawkins, because he is too. So we'll come back. We'll take your phone calls next. All 10 lines are available. 866-WE-BE-BIG is the number. And from that book that we read from, if you're looking for a husband, look for a devout follower of Christ. He'll still be flawed, but the power of Christ will serve him and you and your family well. Phone calls next, 866-WE-BE-BIG.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
River now.
At three.
3 years old. And he's raising him right. He's got some precious video. I understand that yesterday, and what does he call you?
Pops.
Pops. That Pops wanted to show River how to make the world famous spiral dogs.
Right, and there's some things here that you won't like.
I know,
and that is that we're using an air fryer. For
oh
it.
My
it
goodness!
Good.
Oh, my goodness.
I can explain why we're
are you
to do
using
that.
An air fryer?
Well, if you've ever had
for
college
spiral dogs,
college kids, a lot of times they'll get the hand me down stuff.
Yeah.
If it's furniture, if it's you know patio furniture, right. Whatever. Well.
Sure.
JC and his roommates at his house that we rent for him in Huntsville, they got the old grill that we had that was kind of a beat up grill. It still works, but it's yeah. very college friendly, if you know what I mean. With the idea that we would get a new grill, or we've been looking at these Blackstone griddles and other things
mm-hmm.
if we want to upgrade to something like that, but we're kind of in between.
You don't have a grill right now?
No, and we even went and looked this weekend. I mean, we're close to getting one, okay. but we're in between.
All right.
And Saturday.
I guess we'll allow it.
I should say Sunday after. We were out of town, and then Sunday afternoon, Tyler and Mabry and River came over, and we had a lot going on. You had the Masters on out in the back, and River wanted to come play at Pops' golf course, which is a small backyard.
Right.
Okay. But if
yeah.
you remember when you were little, everything
oh,
was big
oh,
to
yeah.
you.
Oh, yeah. I remember
sure
thinking
they,
that our football field was gigantic. I went back and saw some of the football fields we played on. I'm like, my gosh, that was small.
Right. But we have the little golf wiffle right. balls with the holes in them so he can hit them.
Sure.
And they don't really go anywhere. I'm sure the backyard's huge. Burgers and hot dogs were called for, and we're like, oh boy, we don't have a grill. What do we do?
Mm.
So we had to come up with some ways of getting it all done, and spiral dogs were talked about.
As it should be. It's spiral dog time of year, guys.
Yeah. And when we said spiral dogs, River was like, huh? Like what? I want to help. He wants to help. I want to help. I want to
sure,
help. I want to help.
That's good. Let him
and
help.
And we have a little step.
You teach him this. That's a good granddad.
We have a little step ladder that he helps Nan cook and do things with. And so we brought in the step ladder, and he stepped up there, and we said air fryer for the spiral dogs. And we've done this before, and they were good.
Okay.
And so we make the
not
spiral
sure how
dog.
You get the barbecue sauce to work, but that's fine.
Yeah, well, it's really good. And he wanted to get the little paint. He called it the paintbrush. And his job was to paint the hot dog weenies with barbecue
there
sauce.
There you go. That's why you get him involved.
So here it is, them kind of cut up. Now, he used a bug. Yeah.
Spiral dogs, bud?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go.
Oh, look at him. It's like teach him how to put barbecue sauce on him. I love that.
Yeah, so we've painted him up, and you can tell the ones he helped. Mm-hmm. He had a butter knife, and we helped him. Some he cut in half.
I'll throw him a blade.
Yeah. And so
he didn't need a blade yet.
No, we stood over him with that one. But he loved to paint them up. But this is the finished product.
Okay, all right.
And I feel we did
that's
pretty
better.
Good.
That doesn't look bad.
You see how they opened up?
That's
yeah.
good. I'm pleasantly surprised by that.
Boy,
so he's got just a plate full
job,
of.
Man.
Now he's gonna grab one of them here. I'm not sure he didn't want that one.
Okay, oh, didn't like that one.
We're gonna grab another one.
There we go.
And and there it is.
I think he did upgrade. I agree with
you. Yeah.
I think he did upgrade.
Kid knows what he's doing.
That's it. Yeah, I believe that. And so we go through this, and it's just a great afternoon. We're in and out, in and out,
so
in and out, in and out. And I don't know. Terry grabbed this. I don't know this cup that had.
See
y'all
if you remember
on
these, Bubba. I don't even know if I remember.
It had the Rick and Bubba logo on it, and then all of a sudden he starts, you know, going Rick and Bubba, and I'm like, where is he hearing this from? Because we've never really broke it down, but he tried to tell me
do
who was
this?
Who as we were eating.
Okay.
So this is Rick, and this one is Rick and Bubba.
Yeah. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. He said, yeah. All right, so
I love,
like,
are you sure?
Are you sure about that? All right, so the next one is I'm sitting on the other side of him, and I'm like, okay, we gotta
get this right.
We gotta get this right.
And those of you that can't see it, he's calling me Rick and calling Bubba Rick and Bubba.
Yeah. Right.
Both
and,
names.
And so I go over off video. I'm like, no, this is Rick and this is Bubba. So let's go over this again.
This one is Rick.
Okay.
And this one. It's Rick and Bubba.
Okay, got it. Rick and Bubba. Got it. Get some more spiral dog, big guy.
Ooh, that looks good.
Okay, doggy.
And so, wow. So he could never really dial in.
Working. Do you remember that cup?
Do you remember
it's
that one,
nice
Bubs?
Cup.
I don't remember it.
Nice,
I like it. It's nice.
Yeah.
Where
I don't know.
Is that those that people send as a sample? We never.
Speedy took
it
home, didn't he?
No, I think I didn't take anything. I believe you automatically go there. I don't know why I didn't sneak one out of here.
I don't know if anybody owned it. But I think somebody sent us those.
Yeah.
As a, like, hey, look at these.
Yeah, I've had, we both have multiple kids just call us Rick and Bubba, but I've never seen him start with one and then call Bubba.
I don't get it either. I don't know why this is Rick.
I like how confident he says it.
Right.
Are you sure?
That's it.
Yep. Are you sure about that?
So this is Rick, and this one is Rick and Bubba.
And Dad Tyler goes, are you sure about that?
Are you sure about that?
Yep, I am confident.
So we're in between air fryer. I know I lost a card on that, but they were really good.
It's spiral dog time of year, and I just love. But here's the thing, and if you don't know how to make them, you can go to our YouTube channel. There's a YouTube how to there where I look like what's that country singer?
Luke Combs.
He do.
But anyway, there's my only concern.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I understand that right now, Bubba and I are not in the grandparent world, Adler either, so we have to kind of stand down a little bit because we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little bit of concern that, you know, hey, River, tell me about your granddad. Well, one day he'd show me how to cook hot dogs in an air fryer.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't sound the same as my granddaddy. My granddaddy took me out to the grill to show me how to grill. I'm not trying to be negative.
I know, but it was almost like a game time situation. We were throwing different ideas around for a late lunch. We had spaghetti. We had different things that were thrown up, and everything just kind of kept getting shot down. And this was what was hungry. Decided. And so then Terry and I look at each other and are like, well, how are we going to do this? So it was kind of like a, hey, we got to figure out a way to make this work. And so we went air fryer.
Well, it's better than nothing. And I will admit, the final product looks
delicious. Good.
I guess I'm like you're saying, Greg, we just need to get with the times. I guess for a generation of grandkids, the air fryer will be like the grill was to us, right? I guess. Are you an air fryer guy, Bubba? Have you tried it at all?
I know nothing about it. Betty air fries some, but I'm kind of out of the loop.
Do you like the product she gives you out of the air fryer?
Listen, I like anything that's put on my plate, Rick. Look at me.
Well, yeah. But I know you can be quite picky, too. But I just haven't – I'm not against it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do feel like – and, you know, this is the thing, the weird quirk with me – it's almost like the more people pressure me on the air fryer, the less I want it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, hey, have y'all got an air fryer? And I'm just like, no. We don't have an air fryer? Oh, we love our air fryer. You know, and everybody just start losing their mind over the air fryer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't break it out a ton, but Sunday we were trying to figure out how we make this work, and that's what we landed on.
It's better than nothing. They look fat. Did they taste good?
They were delicious.
My concern is how the barbecue sauce acted.
The barbecue sauce.
Did you get the crisp?
Did it fall? Yeah. Did it goo anything?
No, it was good. And I thought he used his little paintbrush, which
yes, he did.
And he painted them like, I mean.
Well, one of the things really on the grill, as you'll see in the Luke Combs video, is as you're grilling, you continue to apply and roll.
Correct.
Can you do that in the air fryer?
No, but now I will tell you this. We prepared, we painted, we rolled them over, we painted, all this kind of stuff. We put them in there for 8 minutes. And Terry's like, what we'll do is we'll get them out and then we'll recoat them.
Okay.
But when we opened it up, they were ready and they didn't need recoating.
Do you feel it was enough barbecue sauce?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I felt like it was. Well, now, could it have been more and would y'all have complained? Maybe. There was a couple of weenies Greg probably would have eaten. But other than that.
By the way, your grandson did upgrade to a weenie that was perfect.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Top of the hour.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Bubba, the horrible, evil tornado a year ago, we've talked a lot about the damage that was done to property and your home and all these things, but the dastardly tornado, I understand, also took out your grill, speaking of grilling.
Well, it sucked it up in the air. There's some things when a tornado comes around that you look at and you go, well, yeah, I can see how it would get up under that and pull a roof, or you know, those kind of things.
Yep.
A big green egg has no, I mean, it's there's nothing for the wind to grab a hold of.
It's actually supposed to be, it looks pretty wind resistant.
Yeah, you would think it is.
And it's heavy too.
And it was heavy. We had it on a roller thing, you know, with the little side wings that pop up. And it was hard to move. If you wanted to move it, you obviously could, but
those things are heavy.
You had to bear down.
Yeah.
So
when the tornado picked it up, carried it around the side of the house, what was left of it, and threw it down probably 250 foot from where it was and smashed it into 1,000 pieces. I thought, that's impressive.
That's
you know, that is impressive.
Wow.
Again, I just don't know how the wind, it could have, you know, got up under.
The power.
It had a cover on it, but the cover would have, you know, you would have thought had blown away. By the way, never found that. But tomorrow, Rick, we are scheduled to have a replacement Big Green Egg delivered, and I'm looking very forward to that.
We
got several of these coming, by the way, as we kind of wrap up. But what a day! You know?
The latest update. Now, did you have another grill too, other than the egg?
No, that was it.
Egg only.
Betty is the gas griller in the family because she likes to be able to do the quick things before I get home.
Love a gas grill.
I'm the Big Green Egg. We're going to have to plan it out ahead of time. Now, I don't know if it cooks food better. It seems to me that it tastes awful good. Now, I don't know if it's just because I'm at the water, I'm tired, or the time I had to prepare to get the egg going. But it sure was good.
Oh, if you like you said, if you're willing to do what the egg requires, the egg produces a great product. And
they got the attachments and extras for it too.
Today, how about that pizza attachment?
Yeah. Well, a lot of that didn't get destroyed. We still have that.
Oh, really? So. Do you use the pizza attachment?
I don't think we ever have. We've talked about it, but we never have.
Look at the versatility.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's some good food if you use one of those things.
Mm. High temp grill or a roaster or a smoker or a pizza oven.
What do you use, Adam?
You don't want to know.
Okay, never mind.
I did get one of those little electric blowers you put on the input that has the digital thermometer so it can regulate, how much air it's blowing to hold the temperature constant. And that's kind of cool. And it has the temperature probe, too. Mm. So if you want to do, some kind of bud or something – leave it. You can do that. Right. Take care of it.
Well, what's your favorite thing when you're doing it?
You know,
what do you normally do?
We do, of course, a lot of hamburger, hot dog, steak type things. Chicken, do that, and okra. We started grilling okra, which I love. By the way, that is a game changer. I think the okra thing is one of the most bizarro good things I've found.
If you can keep from burning your hand, Old Chubb will stand by the grill. But it's a great little thing for the griller, too, to sit there and get a little pop-off.
Well, you got to be careful because she's coming out of there hot.
I love that, though.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I love it. I thank the folks at the Lake Martin Mini Mall for helping us out with that.
Oh, really? Is that where it was?
Well, yeah. That's where we got it before. I'm just trying to kind of follow in the same footsteps and get all that replaced. And
are you – now, I know that we have to take the yard and put it over here.
Yes.
Okay, we're not going to talk about
the yard. Yeah, the yard.
But is the lake house, if this egg lands today
– tomorrow. It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Will you be back fully functional, top to bottom?
I'm saying the needle is probably at 99% right now. We still have a few punch list items. We have a few more pieces of furniture to be delivered and whatnot. But, I mean, it's very livable already.
Mm, yeah.
If you don't mind looking at a yard that's messed up.
I said we're talking about the
yard. I know. We're not talking about the yard.
We're
not talking about the yard.
Of course, it's hard not to see it.
Yeah. Well, it's, still got to be done. But
because it's between you and the water.
Yeah,
so it's right there.
Right there. You got to look right at it.
Yeah, you stare at all the windows you got. You know what they see?
Mm-hmm. Yard.
Yeah. So what
is the yard's growing, by the way.
I'm sorry.
You forget how pine trees, how they will pop up everywhere.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
I mean, it looked like 2 inches one day. And we're going to have to get a chainsaw hold up before you know it.
Where we live, you're living in the pine trees world.
Mm-hmm. Boy, they're proficient.
That, by the way, that's a bone of contention with Sherry and me. I don't really like pine trees.
Mm.
And
She likes pine trees?
I like your oaks, your hardwoods, and all that.
And I love pine trees.
And I find those to be superior trees. And it's a bone of contention.
You need those pine trees though to be able to lay down a nice carpet there.
I got all that. Yeah, I'm just talking about if I'm sitting looking at a tree.
I don't like the pollen.
And this is where I get in trouble. I sit looking at a tree. I'd rather look at hardwoods versus a pine tree. And some days I'll be out on sitting behind the house and I'll mistakenly say, I'm not big on pine trees.
Right.
And I'm going to just stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry goes, look at those needles glistening in the sun. Oh, yeah. You don't think that's pretty?
Mm.
And I was like, well, they just seem
when they are seedlings
problematic.
I believe if you just stared at them, you could see them grow. It's amazing how fast.
And I love the products we produce from them. Don't hear me say anything.
It's a great crop.
I'm strictly talking about today's the day I'm going to look at trees.
Mm-hmm.
If you said in the lineup today, you know, we have a white oak or we have a pine tree, I'll say I'll take the oak. I'd rather look at it.
I've got a tick question when it comes to pines.
You better watch
tick,
out.
Tick, tick, tick.
Because I know ticks love pines.
You've been banned from even talking about tick products.
Speak slowly.
Tick. Is it
say
true?
Say your words. Use your words.
There's a shaded area where when you go to UAH that's got some pine trees in center field, and it's very nice to just sit under them and just relax.
Yeah.
Always windy, so you got that. And a tick question started coming out. Sky walked by and goes, I'll tell you what, you better watch them ticks. They're going to fall on you. You
what?
Did check
did
your
he
skin.
Say it just like that?
He did.
What was Gary doing?
And I'm like, I don't know about if they're just going to be falling all over me.
I wouldn't worry about it.
And I remember a discussion, I think it was with Moultrie, that if you cut the branches at least 15 feet high, then the ticks won't be a big deal if you're
I've never heard
them.
This in my life.
So Dan told you that?
I've never.
I want to say that was a discussion one time when he was here.
No recollection.
That's why I'm asking
you
that.
You think Dan pulled a good one on you?
So if we're sitting up under pine trees, I mean, are ticks going to be falling on us?
Speedy, I'll just say, and that may be the case. I don't know. I'm not an expert on it.
And this is, there's no one more terrified.
That's what I'm asking him.
I try to avoid ticks. I find them in high grass more than I do anything.
Ask Adler about that.
Yeah, yeah, they're gonna be in that high grass a bunch.
Boy,
but
he
y'all
got in them that time.
When
parachuting ticks.
When I brought them in from the woods, it's like I brought them in with me, and they were like jumping off as I was going into my house. Because for 2 months after that, I would take the dogs out at night, and something would land on me. I was pulling something off of me.
Ooh.
I know this sounds insane.
And
I know
gross.
It sounds crazy. But y'all, these ticks were coming from somewhere. If they weren't coming from the trees, they were.
Well,
I was underneath trees. I've no other alternative but to say they were coming down on me from the trees.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this: on this particular guy, you gonna sit down there? How many times you sat under this tree?
A few.
How many times you got a tick on you?
I haven't had any. Okay. But he said, but you know, it's tick season there.
Yeah, but had you sat there? Haven't you sat under a similar tree in tick season?
Yeah, I think so. But
did
not
you get
these.
All
not
you?
These. Not these trees. Okay. They're younger pines.
Are they different than the other trees you sat under?
No, I don't think.
Okay. Did you get a bunch of ticks on you?
No.
Okay.
I think you would know if one hit you and landed on you.
Right, yeah. But I did tell Terry Saturday night I needed to check her for ticks. Yeah, just to make sure.
Well, right.
No, that's just being a good husband.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And I didn't find any. So
keep looking, though, brother.
Yeah,
keep,
so far, so check. Good. So far, so good.
We'll be back.
Rick and Bubba.
Yes,
this is what's funny. We have like normal conflicting information.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Have one article here that say ticks don't fall from trees. They live on the ground. They migrate up a host before biting. Typically, a tick will travel long distances by riding on a host, such as a mouse or other animals that you would find in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So you can encounter ticks in your yard or walking in any tall grass. Then we have another one. It says trees with low-hanging branches. Trees with low-hanging branches, such as spruce and pine, also create an attractive habitat for ticks.
Yep. They like to climb on the limbs and then wait for a potential host to jump on.
So we have two stories that absolutely contradict each other 180 degrees.
I've got as many people saying ticks don't fall out of trees as I do saying they do.
I will say this.
And Speedy, this might help you, though. This is important, maybe the most important.
What you got?
They say that essential oils can help keep them off of you. So if you have essential oils, or maybe you have somebody that could get you some of those, at speedy@rickandbubba.com.
I like the good old DEET. Give me the DEET and you're fine.
I've got one that says they're attracted to the color maroon and cowbells.
Oh, no.
Rick Burgess. But you talking about Powell talking about them dropping. Even this one talking about low-hanging branches, they've came from the ground to get on that. They're not falling out of the top of the tree.
Greg, you know what that one story says?
Low-hanging branches.
Yeah, they would just get on the low branches and wait
like
for something.
Almost
I guess
on the
that's
ground.
Where the 15-foot thing somebody probably made up came from, where they didn't have low branches.
I just had a weird time.
I got low branches.
Yeah. How about this? I got friends in low branches.
Yeah.
They say rosemary, cedar, lemongrass, peppermint, citronella, and what is that?
carry all that. I don't carry all that to the ballpark with me. I'm going to deep woods off.
Deep woods off.
I just want shade at the ballpark.
If you want to spray that poison, Greg?
Yeah, I will. Get to keep them ticks off.
You might as well get you a gallon of Camp Lejeune water.
Get you a pop off that.
Greg, I was asking Speedy a weird concept. Have you ever got ticks on you sitting on that tree? And if the answer is no, then you're probably good.
I've only done it a couple of times. It's kind of like one of my new spots, just to kind of get away from everything. And it's very nice, especially
just wear
shaded.
A white shirt.
Greg. But
I tell you what I'm worried about is this bald head straight up.
Hey, no, that's true. A lot of things are attracted to
always
that.
Goes well, bad,
they,
it?
What's the landing zone?
Yeah, they think it's something white.
Look, I saw a pile of mayflies on top of
it. Color?
Well, yeah, I am Caucasian.
It's,
and
better,
I am bald.
Well, it's also, better to wear white,
also,
but you can tell.
Also fair skin.
You can tell if you get them on you. So you can see them
right
moving
they,
around.
Oh, yeah. They love old fair skin.
Yeah, they might need to think my arms are a branch with all the hair.
No, that's true.
I'm more worried
they
about
may be jumping on
bugs.
Your arms and jumping on other people. I hate when red bugs get on your ankle.
Ankles.
That's a little.
It could be worse.
Oh, yeah. I know. When I was a kid one time, I ain't never seen nothing like that. I was scared to death.
Oh, man.
Horrifying.
It's horrible.
Horrifying.
It's the worst.
I've been there, buddy.
You can't believe that. You cannot believe that your,
so
mom, is having a, your mom is having a doctor there.
Exactly.
You can't believe it.
You're just a little bitty kid.
Campophonique. What?
Right. You know, that's
good
one of the
night.
That's one of the things I look back on and go, where was dad?
I know. I know.
Is it work? Is he at work or something?
I mean, terrible.
All right, so I'm just going to keep on sitting there then.
Ticks, by you're the fine. Way, are not insects. They're arachnids, like spiders.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy.
Release Adler's
arachnophobia
bug knowledge.
If you do get one on, you get it off quick as
you know, ticks, really, he's all about it. Anytime it's brought up because of his scare.
Oh, I know.
It's horrible.
Well, that was a dumb decision. Like, I just shoot you
straight. I know it was a dumb decision. I
mean, you walked off into a bunch of underbrush that no one had even put
where
a
were you
sling blade to.
I had just moved into my new house.
You
and
don't
I,
remember this?
I had, oh, not, I had not been into the woods behind my house yet. And I was like, you know what? I got an hour before Aaron comes home with the
winter.
Kids.
You ever heard of winter?
Yeah, I'm a stupid person, okay? We've covered that.
Okay.
And so I just walked in a straight line through
Jury's
the woods
in.
And back.
Yeah, but no, not just through the woods. You walked a straight line through what?
Very thick, high grass and bushes and all kinds of things.
That's not wise.
And it was me and Kevin, and it was like we were back to our like single days. I was like, yeah. And then I got home, and I was like, oh, no, I have to cook dinner. And I was like, my back itches. I'm sure it's fine. Mm. Continued to cook dinner. That was stupid. And then the horror just started. And
you
and
got
that
those,
was
you was naked.
That
the
was 5 weeks of just horror.
You got the seed ticks, what we call seed ticks.
I mean, they were in my skin. I
just
could see
the little
them
dots,
like oil rigs, like miniature tiny little oil rigs going turning up and going straight in,
good,
looking for gold.
Oh, that's terrible. I got that bug that causes scabies or something.
Yeah,
I dig in.
I did get on a round of antibiotics in case I had gotten Lyme disease, and I don't think I have it. So.
Mm, time will tell.
Yeah,
I start to say that doesn't pop up right.
Do you
away.
Remember?
That's
when
good.
Do you remember when we were in school? And it may not be that popular now. But just the terror of scabies.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if somebody brought us
somebody had scabies, a picture, a cartoon of what's actually happening with that
scabies.
I don't want to know.
Mm.
Ooh, but I just remember
got me itching.
It's pronounced rabies, you guys. It's pronounced rabies.
No, it's
no,
different.
We're talking about scabies. Different.
Talking about scabies.
We were more afraid of scabies than we were head lice.
Oh yeah.
Bugs. They actually dig into your.
Oh
skin.
My goodness.
No, don't show it. Don't
that's
show
what
you
it. Had. It'll be a cartoon, not real.
But it's still.
That's horrible.
Oh, no.
Thanks, look buddy. At it living down
yeah,
there.
Man.
Living and then your skin swells up on top of it.
Don't read that word. Do not read that word right there.
Leaves a pile.
The one you're pointing to, don't read it.
Yeah, you got the cursor.
So
on.
It leaves eggs and poop in you?
You know.
You just said not to read that
which
word.
Is kind of, what they call that the double whammy.
Yikes.
And if you see that bug, I mean, it looks like something from another planet.
Do you remember
it
being really in school does. And the word scabies would come up? It just sheer terror.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't really know what it was. We just knew you didn't want it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got
we
stop
would
looking
accuse
at pictures.
People of having it.
You so
no, get some of the microscope pictures. You won't sleep at night.
Oh. Mm-mm. Wash your sheets.
No. You thought to yourself, I shouldn't have sat next to Antonio Carver.
I did run into somebody, Rick, that had alpha-gal syndrome from a long star tick, though.
What?
I know. Bubba the Alpha Gal.
Don't bring that up.
I can't eat me.
You had him on the podcast.
This is on me.
No, I mean, I met another guy.
There. Wait, they're flocking to Bubba. The Alpha Gal people are flocking to Bubba.
I've got more of them than you think.
Greg, when they hand you the stuff at the doctor's office, you know what number three is? Call Bubba.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's a scabie right there.
But see, that don't bother me because it's microscopic. I can't see it.
I don't bother you.
No, I don't want to get it as far as, ooh, a monster.
So you don't care.
That doesn't look like anything on this planet.
No.
That is a monster.
So you don't care if something lays eggs and takes a dump on your skin.
No, I'm not saying that, but I don't look at the picture and go, oh, my God, I hope that don't come around.
I'm anti anything laying eggs and dumping in my skin.
Yeah. I'm just scared of a dust mite.
Huh?
I'm not scared of a dust mite.
This is your dust mite speech. We've heard this.
Or bed bugs.
Next thing you're saying, I don't like bed bugs.
That ain't a scabie.
That's all. They're all in the same
thing. They are.
Imagine that thing as big as like King Kong.
But you can see the red bug.
Coming down the street.
We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba.
Bubba, one of your favorites, Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil is starting to get a little, I think he's kind of tired of the state of things, and he's coming off the fence, and he's starting to double down on things that he didn't like about the country. Dr. Phil is first going to be talking about Texas trying to independently say, look, we must be able to control our borders. He'll tell you a little bit about this. What's it called, Adler, what they're trying to do?
Operation Lone Star.
And then he says something derogatory about Vice President Kamala Harris. So he'll be kicked right out of the entertainment world.
I don't think he cares anymore.
And, you know what? It's almost like Dr. Phil is no longer afraid of Oprah. You know, there was a time when he was afraid of her. I don't think he is anymore. Yeah. He's his own man now. So here we go. Here's Dr. Phil talking about this situation in Texas.
Now, since its launch in 2021, Operation Lone Star, as it's called, has resulted in over 496,700 illegal immigrant apprehensions and 38,700 criminal arrests with 35,100 felony charges. According to the Department of Homeland Security, since President Biden took office, more than 6 million illegal immigrants have crossed Texas southern border in just 3 years. And what about our Vice President, Kamala Harris? Did you know she is actually this country's immigration czar? Well, guess how many times she's been to the border? Once.
Oh, he's in trouble now.
Yikes.
I bet he got a text from Oprah.
Yikes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still doing a show? I didn't know it was still on.
Prime time.
Is it really?
Well, that's what it said, Dr. Phil, prime time.
Yeah, was it a special, you think? Because he doesn't do his daily show, does he?
I don't think so.
He's got a new media source coming out.
Yeah, he's doing his own thing.
Now. Yeah.
And let me tell you something. If he says something negative about Ozempic this week, he's had it. He has had it. You know, so he just comes right out and is negative of Kamala Harris.
Well, fair question.
Fair question.
Fair answer. Yep. She's been to the border once. She's supposed to be in charge of it.
So mm-hmm.
Obviously, the plan is get as many people in as you can
he
before
seems upset
it's finally
about.
Shut down.
He seems upset about
he
it.
He seems a little steamed about mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
While being a journalist,
you know, he didn't do any analogies about farm animals.
Yeah, I know. Like usually, you'll get some animal and its behavior on the farm or somewhere back in Arkansas. It's good.
So we also have other things going on. Of course, video one. We got Peter Ducey. He's always ready, and he's talking to John Kirby. You know, watching President Biden right now. Not him, but whoever's running things, his administration, trying to figure out where they need to be when it comes to the Palestinian protesters in our country and those that think we should be standing with Israel and Israel being attacked and now being told that we don't want them to respond and all this. And so and the president himself, as you said the other day, Bubba, and it's right, they didn't know this attack on Israel was going to happen. So they didn't have him ready to talk. So we just didn't hear from the president.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just
they didn't have time to, you know, give him the juice or whatever they do to get him going.
You know, they say they didn't know it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I believe about halfway through this, he suggests as though they thought this might happen.
Yeah.
Which well, is kind of contradictory.
We had assets in the region that helped shoot down drones and missiles. Yeah, so we knew something was going on.
Right.
So now, I was at dinner and I heard somebody at our table say a bunch of drones have just left Iran. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was early in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So we knew. I mean, our satellites are keeping up with most of that.
So here's Peter Ducey suggesting to the White House's John Kirby, does the president need to consider maybe beefing up the public Iran posture more than just one word? So here we go.
John, has President Biden considered maybe beefing up the public Iran posture to be more than just one word?
You're referring to don't.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about...
And they did it anyway.
And let's talk about what we did, Peter. Let's talk about don't and did. Let's talk about Saturday night. He made it clear that he didn't want to see escalation in the region.
And
let me finish. He added military resources to the region right after October 7th. And then when we had an inkling that this kind of thing was coming, he added even more military resources to the region. More destroyers that were capable of shooting down ballistic missiles, a fighter squadron that was able to shoot down drones. And that's what we did. So you can talk about the don't word all you want, but let's talk about what did happen. And what did happen was Iran utterly failed. And if I'm sitting in Tehran right now, I'm betting that President Biden takes it pretty seriously when he says don't escalate. He's going to act to make sure that you can't. And they didn't. Yes, they fired an unprecedented amount of munitions, but how much of a success did they have, Peter? None. Zero. Very little infrastructure. It was an embarrassing failure for the Supreme Leader and for the IRGC.
Was it, though?
Yeah, but that's not what he's telling the people in Iran who can't have access to what really happened. Right. He's telling them that by the way, like, as he tried to admit but not admit, there has never been this kind of an attack on Israel.
Right. It's usually terrorists. It's usually through their you know, their little operative groups that are around the region.
October 7th, unprecedented as well. Mm-hmm. That was the worst terrorist attack ever on Israel. And so you can't ignore these things. And I know what the administration is trying to do because of these other stories we've got about Chicago O'Hare and the Golden Gate Bridge that Speedy's been talking about today. There's an uproar by these communities in these states that have had so many fundamental Islamists take over communities in key states the Democrats need. So they're trying to find a way to say we're with Israel, but we're not. And they don't really know how to word that.
They're trying to walk all over the place.
Yeah, just like I was told you, I got to talk to somebody that lives in Israel a few nights ago, and he said, you realize that y'all just sent us millions of dollars worth of weapons. So the president may be saying that he thinks Netanyahu's hawkish and all this, but you're also sending us help to destroy the enemy. But at the same time, publicly, you keep coming out acting like that you're also wanting to tell us when we could and can respond. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like they want to be able to say, well, you remember that time we told Israel not to fire back, but you gave them stuff to fire back with. Yeah, but we said not to. And so if you're mad at us because we're not supporting Israel, we tell you that we do support them. If you're mad at us for supporting Israel too much, we tell you we really don't. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're trying to do. And in these kind of conflicts, you really can't. You have to pick a side.
And Ducey's point still stands even after all that Kirby said. Biden said don't, and they did, and then we stopped them. So Biden's don't words were not effective, and that was Trump's point, or that was Ducey's point.
You think anybody, and I would include Israel in this, you think anybody gives a rip what the current state of President Biden says about anything around the world? Anybody?
No.
And here's some of the protests we're talking about. Can you imagine missing your flight at O'Hare, not being able to get across the Golden Gate Bridge because of Palestinian protesters? Can you imagine?
Well, just any protesters. Yeah, there's a way and a time, and there's ways not to. And
well, those
when you start blocking public traffic, that's another thing.
Well, yeah, those aren't protesters. Those are disruptors. That's next level. That's affecting all the lives of the thousands of cars that are in line and their life and where they're going and what they're dealing with. And this is just...
Which doesn't win them over to you.
No,
yeah,
it doesn't.
Yeah, I started to say, it got you on the news, but do you think any of those people are more... supportive of your effort than they were before they missed their flight?
I would go as far as say less supportive.
Yeah, I would.
You know, if you're whatever your protest is, if these are your approaches, you're not winning any new supporters.
And their sign says "Stop the world for Gaza." If I'm sorry, but if you're gay, if you show your hair, which is green, probably you can't live in Gaza.
No,
they'll kill you.
We're back. Rick and Bubba. Rick and Bubba. Before we are done today, but one story that Bubba, you and I talked about earlier, we have been saying this and shouting this from the rooftops for 30 years. The people that are far, far leftists that are always screaming that we don't pay enough taxes, and the wealthy, they don't pay enough taxes and fair share. And of course, Bubba, we've asked them to give us the number on fair share. They've never come up with that number.
No, it's all, you know what, they always give
more.
You more.
It's just more.
More so, is not a number.
One of the places you can look is wealthy leftists. So do they pay more than they owe? They could. They could say, you know what, I feel guilty about these loopholes. I feel guilty that I just don't pay enough. And as a billionaire, in this case, Mark Cuban, who is a leftist or claims to be, doesn't live much like one, but claims to be, probably so he can get invited to certain cocktail parties. So he was asked straight up. So do you pay more than you owe? Because he had been talking, he made the statement talking about President Trump wanting to cut taxes, and he criticized Trump for that. And so the question was asked to Cuban, hey, Mark, it looks like it was on
Outkick
on Ian Miller. Hey, Mark, wondering if you or your corporations pay more than required taxes in order to pay your fair share. Thank you so much. And the response from Cuban, are you ready for this? I pay what I owe. Well, now that wasn't the question. The question was, do you pay more than you owe? Because you're in with a group that says that people like you don't pay their fair share. Mm. And you're criticizing Trump for wanting to give tax cuts to Americans. So if you, a billionaire, feel like that these loopholes allow you to not pay your fair share, do you pay more than you owe? And the leftist actually lives out no. So that means that the leftist doesn't really mean it when he says it, because when he has the opportunity to pay more than what he owes legally, he doesn't do it. Mm. So I'm not going to be lectured to by somebody who keeps telling me I'm not paying my fair share, and that even, I guess, says he's not paying his fair share, but then doesn't pay more. So that has no credibility.
He started out by saying, Rick, that he was going to transfer to the IRS $288 million on tax day. He would have won our challenge, by the way.
By far.
He said, this country's done so much for me. I'm proud to pay my taxes every single year. Tag a former president that you know doesn't, Cuban responded, dodging Miller's question about paying his fair share.
Mm-hmm.
And Miller, as you said, Rick, said, why don't you and your company pay more than you owe in order to fix the injustice of the Trump tax cuts?
And the big answer is, oh, I didn't know you actually wanted me to be sacrificial. I just want other people to.
Right, right.
Yeah, so there you go.
As usual.
Yeah, and again, that means he didn't really believe it. If he believed it and he had real conviction, he would pay more. Y'all know that, don't you? All of you out there that think you don't pay enough taxes, will pay more. You can.
There is
they'll
no law.
They'll take it.
About paying extra.
You could
they'll
send
welcome
in,
it.
You could send in what you owe and tell your accountant to include another check, and you can even say, put this toward the debt.
Yeah, yeah. Now, they won't, but they'll do whatever they want to do with
it. Right. Of course, you're not going to do that.
Probably buy ink to print more.
Yeah. No, I would say that everybody is overtaxed and that everybody should pay taxes, and we all should pay the same percentage of our income and have no deductions.
Yeah, this clip of Mark Cuban from 2017 is getting a lot of traction right now because he seems to have changed his tone quite a bit from 2017 till now, if you guys want to check it out.
Okay.
Yep. As a libertarian, I think we can reduce employment in government by at least a third, reduce the overhead and administration by as that much or more, so that we can offer more to services for our citizens. And so if when it comes down to it, where I tend to disagree with everybody, and this is the libertarian in me, I'm happy to push down the size of government, and I'm happy to work on making government more efficient, because then more money can pass through and help the people who need it. And that's what needs to change. Not because we can't manage government, let's not deal with the health care of our citizens.
Yeah. And I have one more for you. The Trump tax returns.
Uh-huh.
What was your reaction when you saw?
Good for him. Yeah, good for him. Like I said up there, if you made $150 million in a year, that's good no matter what.
So that's a little bit of a different tune, and that's referring to Trump's tax returns that got released.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he realized the libertarian, which then we probably would have more in common, except maybe moral and spiritual issues. Mm-hmm. But libertarians don't get invited to the big parties.
No, they're out.
And of course,
they're the ones with three eyes.
Yeah, and the conservatives don't get invited either. He's got to change his tune because he's not getting invited to the parties anymore. Of course, the way he lives his life is completely different.
One of the ironic things about what he said, though, and I've had to look at this too. We all feel like the government's too big. Mark said very clearly the government could cut the payroll by a third.
Yep.
To provide more money for people in need. Well, if you fire a third of the workforce for the government, those are going to be the people in need.
I know.
You're not going to save you a whole lot.
Yeah.
Honestly, the government, one of the best things that they offer is their works program.
No. Well, that's true. Yeah. Of course, we don't have the money for it, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we're just printing it left and right.
I know. It's the irony there is beyond funny.
Will in Alabama said he had scabies. Will, wow. Will, you had scabies.
Yes, sir. Unfortunately, when I was younger. I appreciate you wording that tax up there. I just had to pay $28. Going to have to pay $28.75 on mine and my wife. But yes, sir. When I was 14, unfortunately, I got the scabies at school or a friend's house, something like that. And then for the last 6 or 7 years, I found out I have suspected it, but I had Rocky Mountain spotted fever and got diagnosed for sure with it last year. So, that's been a nightmare. But we're dealing with it and trying to get better with it. But, yeah, it's that on top of COVID and everything was really fun.
Now, how did you get it?
From a tick bite at one time or another. I'm outside a lot. I'm in the woods. I work outside a lot. Live in the edge of the woods and pasture. I even went looking for a man in the mountains one time years ago and got about 100 ticks on me at one time. So I can relate to the story earlier where Speedy or one of them was saying he got a bunch on him. But, they're terrible, man.
But now you didn't get scabies from a tick, did you?
Rocky Mountain came from a tick.
I thought you said scabies.
He did. He said I had scabies when I was 14, and I just recently found out now I've got Rocky Mountain fever from ticks. He seems to be a magnet for bugs. Boy.
He's going to get some of Greg's spray or something.
I'll tell you one thing, though. If it's one of those afternoons and the gnats are bothering you, just have him come stand by you.
Yeah.
Could you go about 10 feet from me? That's good right there.
Right there.
Top of the hour.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Thanks for listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba. To catch the entire show and for all things Rick and Bubba, go to rickandbubba.com, spell out AIM. Lord willing, we will catch you on the next edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.